like to welcome you back to the Republic Broadcasting Network. And let me give the call-in number, 1-800-313-9443. If you've got questions for Ken or myself and or just want to have a comment, go ahead and call us. Also, my website is www.trumpetmin.org. You can contact me through the website. God bless you. And, Ken, it's, you know, I was just looking at how simple the First Amendment is. And when you look at, you know, the main purpose of it was to protect our civil liberties, Amen. The liberties of the individual. And of course, we've discussed the First Amendment and the Second Amendment, but how did we get so far off from the Bill of Rights and the Constitution? And how did we get so far off from teaching this in the schools? People should come out of the schools with a firm foundation in the in what the Constitution says.
Well, you know, Carl, I'm in your age bracket, which means we're both pretty young. But I learned these things in schools. I did my own studies in addition to that. But I tell you, in grade school and even in high school in those days, you actually learned some of these things. And not everybody paid much attention to them. It so happens it interested me quite a bit. One of my ancestors signed the Declaration of Independence, so I was interested in that. And what's happened is over the time period, because people are not paying attention, little by little, it's always been gradualism is what's destroying us. It's a little bit of compromise here. Remember, the Bible says a little leaven leavens the whole lump.
And Amen.
Jesus said, watch out for the leaven of the Pharisees and of, I think, of the Herodians. I think it's, I forget the other words. He was talking about both religious and political leaders. That's what he was talking about. He wasn't talking about bread, as the disciples mistakenly thought. He was talking about this little bit of compromise. That's what you see in the churches today. It's a little bit of compromise. It hasn't happened overnight, but it's happened in my lifetime, a lot of it. And I've watched it go, be eroded little by little. A little give here, a little give there, and then, well, we don't really need to teach that. Let's teach something else. And now people who were, say, my teachers back in grade school would not even recognize the curriculum they have today. You probably know this. I think it's the SAT test they still give, I guess. You know that those tests, the scores kind of went up every year until 1963. In 1963, they peaked, and they've never been high ever since. And they started coming down. You know what happened in 1963?
Prayer was taken out of the schools.
That's right. I don't know if I told you, but I won't tell you now, but there were two boys who went to the same high school in 1963. And those two boys in that little jerkwater town came in number one and number two across the nation in scores. No one's ever beaten those scores. That's amazing.
Isn't that amazing?
But see, though, I don't know what was happening in big towns in those days because I didn't live in one. But I didn't live in the People's Republic of California. And by the way, I'm escaping to Nevada in a couple hours.
Oh, well, great.
But it really is gradualism, I guess I would call it. And, you know, the people who want to run this world, and you know who their boss is, of course. It's Lucifer, Satan, the devil, yeah. Whatever you want to call him. He's always wanted to exalt his throne above the stars, right? And he
right.
wants to sit on the right hand of God. He wants to be as if he's God, pretending he is. And so he can't create, and so he works on procreation. That's why sex is such a big seller in this world. He also wants to, he has to use the resources that are available. He can't create new ones, so he has to use the people. And so what he's doing, and he has lots of time, at least more time than we realize. So he and the people that he uses, the wealthy people, are all just little by little eroding our liberties away, and it's never quite enough to fight for. Well, now we're at the point where it's time we better do something, huh?
Well, sounds like the music is coming again, brother. We'll be right back with Republic Broadcasting Network and Signs of the Times with Carl Sanders.
With recent international flight from the dollar, it's confusing. How to protect your wealth against this invisible loss of purchasing power? Let the Republic Trading Group help you see through the fog and deception of the fiat money masters. The fact is, gold is and always has been the only insurance against the erosion of your wealth. So put the power of gold to work for you and rest assured your purchasing power is secure. Buy your gold from the most dependable and reputable dealer, Republic Trading Group. Call today, 1-800-691-7898, and let Robbie Noel help you see through the fog. When you support the Republic Trading Group, you're also supporting Republic Broadcasting Network. So visit our new and improved website today, republictradinggroup.net, for daily news and information from around the world. Don't be confused. Call Republic Trading Group today, 1-800-691-7898, and lock in the power of gold.
The Republic Broadcasting Network is very proud to present a new educational tool that will inform and update our listeners to the most critically important topics and issues of the day. This new 50 CD collection contains invaluable information, carefully selected from the very best shows in the RBN archives. These standard format CDs have been painstakingly edited to remove all commercials and unrelated topic content. Each CD has been divided into multiple tracks for ease of use and review in any standard CD player. Each CD targets a specific subject matter. For example, Agenda 21, vaccinations, 9/11, depleted uranium, the war in Iraq, fluoride, deception in the churches, genetically modified foods, animal RFID tags, and many more topics. We encourage you to make copies and get them out to as many people as you can. Call and order your library CDs for the price of $150, 800-724-2719, or go to the website rbnlive.com.
It's true. Gold and silver have been a source of true wealth for years. In fact, people around the world have used these metals to buy and sell goods for over 5,000 years. And gold and silver will continue to be a source of true wealth for the foreseeable future. If you look back in history, you'll see that all fiat currencies have failed to maintain wealth or failed altogether. But gold has always protected its holder, a true asset, usable to anyone around the globe. As the value of your Federal Reserve note continues to depreciate, gold will be your only insurance. As an example, in 1975, you could buy a $40,000 home with 1,000 gold coins. Today, that same house is $400,000, yet you can still buy it with 1,000 gold coins. To find out more information on how to protect your wealth, call Republic Trading at 1-800-691-7898. That's 1-800-691-7898.
Back to Republic Network. This is Signs of the Times with Carl Sanders. And Ken, are you still on the line?
I'm still here.
We've got a caller from Tennessee. His name's John, and we're going to stay on the line with me, Ken, and we'll talk to John. And then we've got another caller waiting, Mike from Kentucky, and we'll talk to him also. And so, John, how are you doing?
I'm doing well. Good morning, Ken. Good morning, Carl.
Well, God bless you, brother.
You too, my brother. You know, it's interesting. I'm really enjoying the conversation. Guys, I think what a lot of the problem is, and I don't disagree with it entirely, but we go to the churches and we talk to our pastors. And they, you know, we know that we're instructed to study God's word to show ourselves approved. And then we read Hosea 4 that says, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge."
Amen.
And if you reject the knowledge, that he'll reject you.
Yes.
But yet we're told by many pastors, and my father-in-law is one of them. He's a retired independent Baptist minister. And when I talk to him about this conspiracy that is satanic in origin, he tries to get me to leave it alone. You know, it's basically, it's God's will. Well, we know that certain things have to happen for God's prophecies to become true. But I believe we're also instructed to resist the devil, not to lay down, not to sit by and let things happen. There's people that if we do nothing, this is my thought on it, that if we do nothing and if we don't do what we can to expose not just the Masonic conspiracy, but the world government conspiracy, to people even that are in our churches that are born again Christians that have blinders on. Their eyes are blinded and their ears are plugged. We've got to do something to take the blinders off, whether it's through prayer, to ask the Lord to open their eyes and open their ears and to be able to look at the news, see what's going on in the Middle East, and really realize that there's family members that we have that if we do nothing are going to die and go to hell. You know, I mean, I don't know how to put it any other way.
You know, John, one of the things that that scripture says, draw nigh unto God, then resist the devil and he will flee. I think basically we need to draw nigh unto God, but we have a responsibility. And our founding fathers and you know, four decades ago from the pulpits, there was the preaching of the accountability, and we've lost that somehow. And this idea that this must be God's will. Well, is Al Qaeda God's will? Why are we fighting Al Qaeda if that's the attitude we have? Isn't Al Qaeda God's will?
That's what I was saying to you last week when I called.
Yeah,
we've got
yeah.
to understand the motive. I mean, it's. It's a Luciferian motive. We've got to understand it. You're talking about the Constitution. Are either of you aware that August 1st of this year, President Bush signed an executive order that makes it legal, without prior knowledge, to confiscate property of anybody that attempts to undermine the sovereignty of Lebanon, of all places? Not undermine the sovereignty of the United States, but undermine the sovereignty of Lebanon. Then in March of 2007, he signed an executive order giving the Pope and all of his bishops in Rome immunity, diplomatic immunity, when they come before the United Nations. Things are lining up, you know, because a person says that they're a Christian doesn't make them a Christian. I mean,
amen. Well, you know, the Pope just came out with a statement saying, hey, all these churches that are Protestant churches are wrong. There's
right.
only
if you're
one
not a Catholic,
right
you're
church,
not going
and that's
to
the Catholic Church. And
so,
that the Protestants don't have the ability to have salvation.
Well, my questions, and you were saying it before, you know, where does knowledge come from? Well, knowledge comes from God, true knowledge.
Yeah.
And we're given that by the Holy Spirit. You know, one of my favorite sayings is, who taught the teacher? I mean, if we're learning it, if we're putting our faith in man and in what professors say, especially when we know that they're not God's men, we need to learn to not believe them necessarily. Take it with a grain of salt. Check it out on your own. You know, what need would the Pope have for diplomatic immunity unless we're getting close to this installation of a world government?
Well, if you want my take on it, I believe the scripture is very clear that the harlot will ride the beast, the government,
yep.
and that harlot.
Amen. You know, John,
get your take on it also, please.
Yeah, John, I wanted to come back to what you said, which was, you know, it's all about knowing the truth. The Bible tells us, in fact, Jesus said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. And then he said, I am the truth, the way, and the life. So the truth is a person. And that's a classic clash you see in John 18, where Jesus stands before the one world governor, Pontius Pilate, right? He represented the Roman government, which was a type of world government. And that was a classic clash of the kingdoms, and hardly anybody talks about it. But listen to what they said. Jesus tells them that he came to bear witness of the truth. That means he's an eyewitness of his Father, God in heaven, and he comes to tell the people about it. And Pontius Pilate responds, what is truth?
Right.
See, Pontius doesn't get it. He thinks truth is a what, and truth is a who. And that's a problem in our churches today. We have people teaching us dogma and doctrine, and they're not teaching us that what we need to do is to go to God and know Jesus for ourselves. It's personal, and the word uses gnoskos, which means it's personal, intimate knowledge gained by experience. In the same way that yada in the Hebrew meant know your wife as Adam knew Eve. It's a personal thing.
Yeah.
So if we don't learn to know the truth, go back to basics,
we're not only going to lose our liberty, we're going to lose our life. You can gain the whole world, but lose your own soul if you don't know the truth.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think you go back in the book of Acts, and this is something we discovered this year studying it, is that Acts tells us what happened in the church. In the beginning, God added to the church such as would be saved. And while he was adding to the church was in great shape. And then something happened. People began to join the church. They weren't added by God anymore.
Right.
They were just joining to hang around. They weren't even born again of the Spirit anymore. And everything started falling apart. And they began to substitute doctrine and dogma for the truth. And what you have today is people, again, don't go back and read the Bible for themselves. They don't seek God for themselves. And so they take a substitute, the lazy man's way out, and they listen to somebody, whether they're well-intentioned or not well-intentioned, and they feed them pablum, and they're getting weaker and weaker by the day. Same thing's happening in the government. If we don't go back, and I understand the Constitution is a little complicated for some, but the Bill of Rights is like can be put on one page. Read the Bill of Rights. If you don't, you're going to lose your liberty. I guess the thing I'd add is, if you find yourself, if you sleep at the wheel in a car and you wake up and you're out of control going downhill, what do? You put on the brakes. Mm-hmm. And I think we have a responsibility to put on the brakes just as we do in the churches and in the government. Yes, God's will be done. There will be a one-world government. There will be an end of the world. All those things are going to happen. But that doesn't mean that we're not to resist evil in the meantime, that we're not supposed to be like prophets of old. He called prophets to stand up and tell the truth. And he expects all of his children to be prophets, and we're not doing it, are we, John?
No, we're not. And actually, you know, belief to me is a verb. It's an action word. It's easy
Amen.
To say.
Amen.
It's easy to say that you believe the Bible.
That's
it's
right.
An entirely different thing to take action on what you believe. To really, when God tells you something, it may be hard for you to understand it, but if you believe it, then you've got to exercise it.
That's right.
You've got to do something with it. And we've got a lot of people in church, they'll say, well, I believe that Jesus died on the cross, you know, that he was arisen from the dead, he came out of the grave, and he shed his blood to forgive my sins. And that's all true and well.
Mm-hmm.
But if you can't, I really have a problem if someone can't tell others about it, to saying, you know, did they really get it, or is it just words?
Well, it's interesting because when Jesus said he came basically to testify of what he'd seen firsthand, that is of God, right? All of the disciples testified of what they knew firsthand. Paul testified of what he knew firsthand, although he never met Jesus in the flesh. Stephen testified about what he knew. Timothy and Silas and others testified, though they may never have seen Jesus. They testified of the fact they had a spiritual encounter with him. So what we need is people who will testify. And I believe, John, that the reason people aren't telling and sharing their faith, they haven't got anything to share. They have a mental agreement with a doctrine, but
right.
They don't know the truth personally. And I cracks me up one time years ago, we were at a local congregation. They sent us out door-to-door knocking and asking people what will happen when you die. And almost everybody said they're going to go to heaven. And I marveled at that because in talking to them, it was pretty clear they weren't even going to church or doing anything else at the time. They didn't know God at all. But they want to go to heaven. And what do they know about heaven? Nothing except that's where God lives. Why would they want to live with a God they don't want to live with today? That makes
sense.
Isn't
that amazing?
It's amazing.
Well, the amazing thing is if you'll ever really get sincere with the Lord, and if you want his will in your life and you're sincere, I believe he's more than happy to let you have his way and his will in your life. Whether it's moving across country, as the doors open up and you walk through them and you know that you didn't knock on the door.
That's right.
You didn't ask anyone to come in and doors opened up and things were provided.
That's right.
Miraculously. I mean, I could tell you for 20 minutes, you know, what's been in my life and just in one instance about 13 years ago. I won't go into it, but it's just simply walking through the door where you know, when you know that you couldn't do what happens, it wasn't of your planning. And it was all God foreordaining and opening doors, and you see miracles. You know, that's the happiest place you will ever be in your
Amen.
Life.
Amen.
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 Thank you, guys.
John, we've got another caller. His name is Mike from Kentucky. And let's see if we can get Mike on. Mike, are you there?
Here. I'm here. I just thought I heard the music for the break coming up.
Well, it did, and so you be right back with us after the commercial. This is Republic Broadcasting Network, Signs of the Times with Carl Sanders.
I found this company online, and they had this really unique variety of salt wellness products. I read some of the articles and ended up ordering this beautiful salt lamp. According to the company, they said that the salt crystal lamps gently purify indoor air. I was so amazed. I put it in the baby's room, and it made a perfect nightlight. Both my husband and I could tell the difference.
SoleWellness.com is a unique company that offers salt wellness products from around the world.
So, I went back to the site and ordered their Soleil Simple Natural Cleaning Products, also made with Himalayan salt. I figured it would clean really well. The natural cleaning products worked wonderfully, and there was no scent. This company has so many products my whole family can enjoy and feel better with. Plus, the service was great.
If you're interested in natural, homeopathic, time-tested remedies, visit SoleilWellness.com. That's S-O-L-A-Y Wellness.com or call 312-224-2710, 312-224-2710.
Imagine if powerful technology existed to help your body neutralize pathogens, revitalize cells, and intensify your immune system. How do you think that might affect your wellness and longevity? One of the most powerful breakthroughs in electromedicine was the multi-wave oscillator created by doctors Tesla and Lakovsky. More powerful and useful than Rife machines, Evenstar photonic multi-wave oscillators are designed to send trillions of life-enhancing frequencies deep into organic tissue to help eliminate chronic and acute wellness conditions at their source. Over the past 14 years, Evenstar users time and again report excellent results working with a wide range of wellness conditions. To learn why Evenstar may be your perfect wellness and longevity solution, visit evenstarforlife.com or call 888-333-5095. Serious wellness threats are on the rise. Don't you owe it to your family to explore this powerful technology today? Evenstarforlife.com, evenstarforlife.com, or 888-333-5095. That's 888-333-5095.
Attention, this is an RBN Financial News Bulletin. Have you ever wanted to get out of debt, maybe even make some of your debts disappear completely? If so, and you're an RBN listener, there is a very real chance you will be able to do it. Here is why. A new manual has just been published that reveals how you can get out of debt in 90 minutes without any loans or bankruptcy whatsoever. The insider secrets revealed allow you to get out of debt so fast and so completely that it makes some people feel like they're stealing, but they're not stealing. The secrets taught in the manual are 100% legal and 100% ethical. It's just that bankers, debt collectors, and credit card companies don't want you to know about these loopholes. Don't be a prisoner of debt. Go to outin90.com. That's www.outin90.com or call 877-327-0365. RBN listeners receive a free DVD with purchase.
I'd like to welcome you back to Republic Broadcasting. This is Carl Sanders, and we've got talking about signs of the times, and we've got Mike on the phone from Kentucky. Mike, how are you doing?
I'm doing okay, trying to get going this Saturday morning, dealing with the heat and humidity. Romans 13, I think sometimes it gets a little too obvious when things get distorted. I read years ago one of these newer translations that actually translated that to obey the policeman.
Is that right?
That
must have been one of them non-informed versions or non-functional versions or something.
But anyway, well, almost comical, you know, but unfortunately that sort of thing, you know, we have examples in history where people did just that, you know, no matter what. They used Romans 13. Supposedly that was one of Hitler's favorite passages.
I bet it was.
It was, yeah.
So hey. The other thing, too, is you're talking about reading in context. I think you have to mention And bear in mind, and I think even the Supreme Court has occasionally done this, when they look at the Bill of Rights, you have to consider the preamble to it, which talks about that these are further bills, further restrictions on the power of government in order to instill confidence in and ensure its institution, you know. So in that sense, those amendments aren't just like other amendments. Other amendments to the Constitution can, you know, be revoked or modified, but that foundation, those foundational things, the states, several of the states refused to ratify the Constitution without those on
them. That's right.
So
that's right, Mike, because what they really were is the Constitution is built upon that, and that's what we're missing in America today is that the Constitution, its purpose is a contract between you and I and the government, which says we will give you our power to govern so long as you protect these rights. So
well,
my
and
question
if, and
it, my
if
question
we undermine
people,
those rights, is it any is there any reason that we should be shocked that people no longer have confidence in the government?
No.
Because that's what they were there put in there for, to
that's
instill
right.
Confidence in the government that it would not outgrow or outstep its boundaries.
What shocks me is that people do have confidence in the government.
Yeah. Well, you almost have to wonder if, and you try to talk to people, especially Christians, about how they talk about the end times and all this, and strong delusions that are supposed to be coming upon us, but they really are loyal to their government no matter what they do, you know, especially if they voted for the current administration.
We talk about strong delusion. We now have people, again, when we don't go back to the Bill of Rights, we get astray. If we don't go back to the Bible, we get astray. We have people who believe in what I call a bad hair day rapture, which means because they're having a bad day that somehow God should take them out of this country and out of this world. That's not what the Bible says at all. There's going to come something like that, but it's not going to come just because you're having a bad day. You have a hangnail.
Yeah, yeah. But, I, you know, not to get too far off track here, and I would love if you can explain. I'm puzzling or struggling over this, and I have a hard time, I guess, trying to figure out when do you dust your feet off and give up on a town, you know, like the apostles were told to do if they weren't accepted. And they were also told that they would not finish going through all of Judea or all the towns in Judea before the Son of Man comes. And I'm sure you're familiar with some of the groups that are looking at that and saying either that the day of the Lord's judgment had to have already been fulfilled or something's wrong with those verses, you know. It seems like that it was entirely possible for them to have preached the gospel into all the towns of Judea in a fairly short amount of time, since all those time references say he was coming soon, you know. And we're dealing with that, you know, destroying a lot of people's confidence and faith in the scriptures because of those time is at hand sort of time statements.
Yeah, and this is just, I haven't really thought about those things for quite a while, but I think, again, you have to look at them in context, and you also have to look at all the other things that the Lord said. And they all fit together. There's no inconsistencies in a real Bible. There may be in a lot of the new perversions that are out there, and I'm not sure what all they are anymore because I don't read them.
Right.
But if you go back to the original text, and there were 5,200 Greek manuscripts from which they did at least the King James Bible and some others of that time, I don't see there to be any inconsistencies. I think there's some different things being talked about. I think there's a time frame. And for one thing that happens is that new generations are born all the time. You know, so I think there's a couple things. One is that people keep marching on. There's new people that preach to all the time. The world population is expanding. Even today we haven't covered all of the people in the world. And, you know, I think those statements are not mathematical as we consider mathematical. You know, we in a Western world, we're taught to think more or less mathematical, very precise in these things. But the Hebrew language was not like that. The Aramaic that Jesus spoke was not like that. And even the Greek is more poetic than we use. So
yeah,
I think
I've heard that too, that you have to avoid, you know, kind of being legalistic and consider that they thought more conceptualized than we do in Greek trained schooling sort of school of thought that we have, but You know, there's several, I guess, Old Testament cases for Day of the Lord judgments, you know, where mm-hmm. where it talks like the entire world ended, you know, and the elements melt with fervent heat, and the sky rolls up like a scroll, and all this stuff, these prophetic descriptions. And I've just been struggling with that, because it certainly looks like that, and by other accounts, which are not really considered scripture, but are considered historical accounts, there was not one stone left on another for the Old Temple Covenant. It was destroyed, you know.
Well, right. That's exactly right. In 70 A.D., that's what happened. In fact, Micah tells you that. And many times I find if you really search carefully and diligently and you ask God to show you, he shows you. You know, it's right there in plain sight, but with our logical, natural mind, we can't figure it out. See, the Bible is not written for the logical, natural mind. That's the worldliness. That's the carnal mind. It has to be an inspired thing from God. So you have to talk to him and have him show us.
Oh,
you look
sure.
At it, Micah tells us that there won't be one thrown upon another. It says that basically there will be, you know, it'll be desolate. Well, what happened was when they tore down that entire temple, they plowed that top of that hill with salt, which was like a type of insecticide and pesticide, so that nothing could grow there for a while. That's how they made Roman towns. So that prophecy was literally fulfilled right to the T.
Well, I've heard that is the case, that they think they found the archaeological location for Sodom and Gomorrah, and they're desolate to this day.
Absolutely.
So,
and I do believe that, you know, when God's talking about rolling things up like a scroll, now we know, which wasn't and couldn't be known in Peter's time, about, you know, more about the atomic and subatomic structures of the world. The way I look at it, this is my personal view, is that there's going to come a time when God will judge the whole world, and there's going to be a period of time when there's a different type of government set up on this planet for a while, and then God's going to cleanse this place. He says a couple of things. One, he says, I'm going to cleanse their blood, which he's not yet cleansed. That's talking about humankind. But then he's going to actually clean sin from off of this whole world. He's going to remake the heavens and the earth. That's what it's talking about. It's about being rolled up like a scroll, and the heavens will melt with fervent heat. That's a very long time off.
Well, it talks about the elemental things of the faith and the temple and stuff. And a lot of people point to that and say that's what that King James language is referring to, is the accoutrements and the rites of the temple sacrifice system, and that it's not the actual physical physics, science of physics, elements of matter. But
I think
the elements,
apples and oranges. I think they're talking about totally different time frames and totally different issues. To me, when Jesus died on the cross, one of the last things he said was, it is finished, correct? What was finished? Well, what was finished was the old covenant. All of those things have no meaning whatsoever anymore. All of the rituals and traditions, which were ways of pointing men to a personal relationship with God.
And the apostles actually pointed, or some of the people who, I guess, were, I guess, had their faith shaken, were pointing and saying, look, everything goes on as it has before. And they were referring to the temple practices and the sacrifices and things, and after 70 A.D., they could no longer say that.
Well, two things happen, but see, you have to look at things both at the physical and the spiritual. On the spiritual level, they ceased before that time because God no longer recognized them.
Oh,
once,
yeah.
Once Jesus came, they were done. Now, they were also done historically in 70 A.D., and what's interesting is people want to build a new temple now, and they say the Antichrist is going to come and blah, blah, blah. Well, God said, I won't live in a temple made by man's hands anymore. So why would you build a temple if God's not going to be there?
Amen. You know, it's amazing. In Ezekiel, we see him departing the temple.
Amen.
And in you know, four different stages, and he would never come back to a temple made with hands. And you know, it's kind of amazing. There is millions of dollars been donated, and a lot of it by Christians.
Yeah.
To help build that temple, and that temple's for the Antichrist.
Well, one of the more sobering things I've heard some people point out is that there's about 6 million Jews in the state of Israel,
mm-hmm.
And that supposedly was a rabbinical prophecy that before the temple could be rebuilt, that something to the tune of 6 million Jews had to die.
Well, you know,
so
there are more than 6 million Jews in the United States. Should we build it here?
I don't know, but they were supposed to supposed to be able to reoccupy the Holy Land after that occurred, and that was a rabbinical prophecy, apparently, in the Talmudic writings, and that has been touted several times, going back to at least World War One. They tried to say 6 million died then, and then of course you can't question that number in World War Two, or else you're politically incorrect.
That's right.
And that was the justification.
Yeah.
That was the justification for setting up this charter, I guess, in the business district of London, and let the Britons gave them their commercial charter to colonize the area. So, but I think it's kind of a little bit of a sobering thing to think about, is that there's about 6 million over there right now, and that would they could create their own self-fulfilling prophecy if that's what they want.
Well, what does the Bible say is going to happen to them, though? And I have a lot of friends I know and people who have gone over there and people coming up and all that, and I have gotten to the point, and this may be just me, I don't really want to encourage people to go to Israel anymore. And the reason is, the way I read the Bible, they're going to be destroyed. I think it's foolish to go there if that's not what God calls you to do, because there's going to be a terrible war in the Middle East, and it looks like it's shaping up right now. It's exactly the way, if you go back and read Genesis 10, which tells you the groups of people that God's talking about, and we look at Ezekiel 38, we're staring that in the face right now. It may not happen.
Yeah, 38 and 39 are right on the verge right now, it seems like.
Well, I mean, everything's in place. Now, that doesn't mean, it may not happen right now, but I'll tell you, it could any time. And that means that place is going to be overrun. But see, that's part of the world globalist plan, is to use the Western power and Israel to destroy the Islamics, and to use the Islamics to destroy this, and that way there'll be chaos, and they'll bring order out of chaos, right?
Yep, that's their pattern, their modus operandi.
I don't think they...
When you look at... Isaiah 17:1, you talk about Damascus being destroyed. I think that's the next event that's going to come, and I believe that's going to be at the hands of Israel.
Hey, I heard something interesting along those lines. Maybe you can verify it. Two things that happened, and I put them together. One was that the carrier task force, all three of them, were just suddenly pulled out of the area.
Whoa.
I heard about that.
I was worried about that. I was wondering about that because I heard they were sending a third carrier group, and I never heard that they brought the other one out.
Well, they didn't exchange. The plan was to have all three of them there, one at the Red Sea and two up in the Gulf, the Persian Gulf, which, of course, is like Pearl Harbor. You're sitting ducks in the Persian Gulf.
It's a little narrow channel.
Yeah, but what happened was, I've heard now from a couple sources that those were pulled back. Now, where they are, I don't know, but they were taken out away from Iran. And then the second thing that I heard was that the CIA heard directly from Syria, which you have to wonder why the CIA would hear from Syria, that they're not ready to attack Israel right now. They're going to have to wait till November.
Oh, okay.
Those two tie together for me if those are correct, because that would mean that we don't need to be there to stage attacks against Iran and the rest of them if Syria is not going to start the war for us.
Who knows? They may have figured a way. Turkey may be letting them... fly across again or something. There was some consternation over that, and
yes.
The access from that direction. But thanks for taking my call, guys.
Well, thank you for being on, Mike, and call us back again.
Sure.
Right before the commercial break, I want to make an announcement that John Stuttmiller will be on a program from 8 to 10 tonight. It's a special, and so we ask you to tune in and listen to that program. It's going to be a special one. It's going to be a good one. And so, Ken, are you still there?
I'm still here.
Well, that was an interesting conversation with Mike. And, John, are you still on the line? John must be gone, too.
Hey, I have something for you, though, Carl.
Yes, go ahead.
We talked about these executive orders. Again, my own personal view is that we need to understand the limits of the government's power. If it's not in the Constitution, in my view, there is no power to do it. Executive orders are one of those things. On July 17th, President Bush issued, I think, Executive Order 13438.
Right.
That's the one that basically says, and I'll just paraphrase in my own sarcastic way, if you even threaten the peace and security of Iraq, they can come and steal your home. Remember that one?
Yes, I sure do.
Now, let's contrast that to a statement by Chief Justice of the Supreme Court, Joseph Story, 1833. Listen to this compared to what it says in that executive order. The Fourth Amendment speaks for itself. Its plain objective is to secure the perfect enjoyment of that great right of the common law,
that a man's house shall be his own castle, privileged against all civil and military intrusion. Now, those two things don't match up to me. I wonder
they sure
which one,
don't, do they, brother?
I wonder which one we should discard.
Yeah. Yeah, it's, you know, it's amazing how the flood of executive orders during the Clinton administration, even prior to that, and then the flood of executive orders that Bush has signed, and it's amazing how many of them there are, but how subtly they came in that nobody really paid it any attention.
Well, that's the point. And the same thing, they're leading us down the garden path. It's like my favorite task in cross-examination. I like to get people so far down the path they can't go anyplace. That's what they're doing to us. These executive orders have no force or authority. The president doesn't have any authority that the legislature can give to him. They haven't given him all of this authority. And if the legislature, that is Congress and Senate, pass a law that is unconstitutional, that violates the Constitution, it has no validity. So we haven't got anything but smoke and mirrors. But they've got us believing them so much we're arguing about. And I've even seen some lawyers who are on the Internet and so forth arguing that, well, you know, we can interpret it this way and that way. I don't care how you interpret it. It has no valid. It's not valid at all. And those are the kinds of things that are bothering me, is that people who are supposed to be our leaders, especially lawyers and clergymen and stuff, whose job it is to find out the truth and let us know what it is and to warn us, aren't doing it. And so it seems to me that in Old Testament times, and God hasn't changed, he did the same thing with the disciples. He raised up fishermen and other people because the religious leaders, the political leaders, were absolutely corrupt, and he raised up fishermen to face them down and tell them, you're the man. Sin lies at your door. And these people are not paying attention. And so what we need more disciples that will go back and pray and seek God's face and ask for boldness to tell the truth. Now, I'm not saying that it will change the world, because God's still in control of the world. He hasn't given that over to anybody. But we still
Ken,
have...
Ken, how are you going to stand up and say, thou art the man, as happened to David? We certainly have the precedent in the Bible, but we have the necessity right now to somehow stand up and say, thou art the man.
You know, if you seek God, he'll make a way. And I agree, we can't put it in the newspapers, they won't print it. We can't get on television. You know, even Ron Paul can't get press, right? We can't get it on most of the radio stations. But I have found in my experience, we were talking earlier with, I think, John, but I've had the experience where God has actually, when I'm just praying and talking with him, has called me to go and speak to leaders. And I didn't want to go. But he gave me the words to speak, and he empowered me by his spirit, and I went and met him face-to-face, eyeball to eyeball, and told him. I wasn't making a public spectacle. People don't even know what happened. But they know what happened. They've been warned that now their blood's not on my hands anymore. I think we need to go back and look at what Ezekiel said. You know, I don't want their blood on my hands. If they're wrong, I should tell them every opportunity that I get. And if they don't change, well, that's not my problem. It's just like we go out and we proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ with our life, first of all, so people want to know about it. And we tell them, but they don't have to fall down and confess Jesus as Lord and Savior. That's between them and God.
Right.
But I've done my job. I don't want to stand before God when he asks me, how come I didn't tell these people he sent to me?
Well, you know, it's taking that responsibility, and whether it be at a local level or all the way up. You know, we've got drugs running rampant in schools, and we've got, the situation in local government, and we aren't willing to step up and say, thou art the man.
Well, I think that's right. And I have to say, I kind of enjoy this life. I mean, I'm not looking forward to killing myself, and you know, I've been in combat and other things like that. I've been wounded and all those kinds of things. I'm not fond of doing that. I'm not looking to be a hero, but I feel, you know, I love the Lord. He saved me, Carl. You know that.
Yeah.
I was lost and undone, and I was as dumb as a fence post. And he came to me and saved me, and I owe him everything. And he's my Lord and my Savior, and I love him more than anything in this world. If he wants me to do something for him, I'm going to do it. Is it going to cost me something? You bet it will. But the price and the reward is far greater.
You know, and it's amazing when you abandon yourself to him. You know, we talk about the Paul talked about the three things, run the race, fight the fight. That's not flailing your arms around and doing nothing with them. That's fighting the fight. And then the other one is to keep the faith.
Amen.
And that hasn't changed.
No.
We can't run in place. If we stand there in the starting box and run in place, we aren't going to get any place. And
not only that, our race is a relay race. And
yeah.
I think Paul alluded to that. That is that, you know, my generation is going to pass away. And I got to pass the baton onto somebody, but that somebody's got to be a born-again child of God. If I don't run the race, there aren't going to be any. I mean, I'm speaking hypothetically, of course, and I know
Sure. Theologians
won't like that. But if I don't have, if people haven't seen my witness and people haven't been drawn to the Lord, who's all of that, if they've seen no hope in me, why should they ask for the hope within me? Well, then I've failed, and those people who could have come to the Lord didn't. I know God has other ways, but I'm just trying to use this illustration again. So that I don't have anybody to pass the baton on to. My whole leg of the race is gone, and it cuts off all the rest of them coming up. God has, for some reason, entrusted to us a partnership with him to help spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. Angels don't preach it from heaven. It's up to us.
Well, Ken, the eroding of the Second Amendment rights, you know, we talk about First Amendment rights, and I think, you know, the whole thing of separation of church and state was mainly to keep the state out of the church's business.
Absolutely.
But we put the church right back in this, the government's business by our corporate structures, the 501c3 and this type of thing, and how we got into that. Now, I can never understand that our God is so small that we have to enlist the help of the government in order to, for the tax exempt status and all that, so that we can survive. And I talked to a pastor in Phoenix, Arizona, and he said if I didn't have the tax exempt status, I would have to shut the church down. And it was a large church, 10,000 people or so.
Praise God, shut
and we couldn't operate our budget, and he was talking about his interest on his loans and this type of thing. So how did we get into that
question,
bondage?
Paul, what kingdom is he serving? And I don't know this man.
Yeah, I'm really amazed at a lot of things that the church does. One thing is that they go hire a secular architect to design the church. Then they go out and look for the lowest bidder to try to find the materials to build the church and this type of thing.
And they hire legal
aliens, happened to letting God have the architectural responsibilities and him supplying the materials? You know, we take a lesser position because we do that.
Well, you know, Carl, God's not a licensed architect, you know. I mean, he did design the universe, but he's not a licensed architect under the state, right?
Right.
I guess we need a licensed architect, just like I need to lick the hands of the state in order to get a tax exemption so that I can build my kingdom here on the earth.
Yeah.
I mean, he said he's not going to occupy any building made with man's hands. That's what a temple is, a tabernacle, a dwelling place. Why would we think that we can go to church? We say this, it's a terrible habit. We say, well, I'm going to church. What? You can't go to church. You can go to a building and meet with other members of the church, hopefully. But you can't go to church. God's not waiting for you at the building. If you don't bring him with him, he's not going to be there.
Yeah.
And we have all these things. We've gone so far away from the truth. It's time for us to turn around. That's why I love about God's kingdom. U-turns, we don't have to get the state's permission to make a U-turn at this intersection. U-turn, which is the same word as repentance, can be done any time, any place. You know, you can make a U-turn in the middle of the block as long as you're heading back toward God.
Yeah.
Isn't that awesome?
That's awesome, brother. That is awesome.
That's what we need to do. What we're doing, and I'm not talking about overthrowing the government. All that's not even on my agenda right now. What I'm saying is that as children of God and as citizens of this country, in this country, the law of the land, if you want to really hold Romans 13 strictly, the law of the land, the supreme law of the land, is not the current regime. It's not the current occupant of the White House. It's the Constitution. So the people who want to follow the Constitution are, in fact, obeying Romans 13. Those who want to follow the government are not.
Mm.
So let's keep it straight,
folks. That's a good point, Ken. I think it's something that we ought to expand on, expound on or something.
I think we just ought to get it and do it.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. You know, we have a right and a duty, both under the civil government as well as in God's kingdom, when we find we're going the wrong way, to turn around. You know, all through the Bible, people went the wrong way. That's the way we are. Ever since the fall in the garden, we're just not straight anymore. We're crooked and perverse like a dog's hind leg. We go the wrong way all the time. We need to be turned around. The same thing with governments and nations. They go the wrong way. And either they keep going the wrong way and they're destroyed, and we're right on the verge of that in my view right now, or we turn around. And a good example is Nineveh. Here's a wicked kingdom, you know, sacking and looting and burning and raping and pillaging other people, including God's people. And a prophet goes over there, Jonah, and he preaches the word to him, just straight your face, you need to repent, turn to God. You know what they do? God spares them for, what, 150 years?
Yeah.
So why don't we pay attention to that sort of thing? I think almost everybody now agrees that our country's headed the wrong direction.
Well, sounds like we've got the music coming again, Ken. We'll be back for the last segment in a few minutes. And this is Republic Broadcasting Network, Signs of the Times with Carl Sanders, and we'll be right back.
With recent international flight from the dollar, it's confusing. How to protect your wealth against this invisible loss of purchasing power? Let the Republic Trading Group help you see through the fog and deception of the fiat money masters. The fact is, gold is and always has been the only insurance against the erosion of your wealth. So put the power of gold to work for you and rest assured your purchasing power is secure. Buy your gold from the most dependable and reputable dealer, Republic Trading Group. Call today, 1-800-691-7898, and let Robbie Noel help you see through the fog. When you support the Republic Trading Group, you're also supporting Republic Broadcasting Network. So visit our new and improved website today, republictradinggroup.net, for daily news and information from around the world. Don't be confused. Call Republic Trading Group today, 1-800-691-7898, and lock in the power of gold.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECX, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education. That's herbalhealer.com.
With recent international flight from the dollar, it's confusing. How to protect your wealth against this invisible loss of purchasing power? Let the Republic Trading Group help you see through the fog and deception of the fiat money masters. The fact is, gold is and always has been the only insurance against the erosion of your wealth. So put the power of gold to work for you and rest assured your purchasing power is secure. Buy your gold from the most dependable and reputable dealer, Republic Trading Group. Call today, 1-800-691-7898, and let Robbie Noel help you see through the fog. When you support the Republic Trading Group, you're also supporting Republic Broadcasting Network. So visit our new and improved website today, republictradinggroup.net, for daily news and information from around the world. Don't be confused. Call Republic Trading Group today, 1-800-691-7898, and lock in the power of gold.
like to welcome you back to Republic Broadcasting Network and to Signs of the Times with Carl Sanders. And we've got Ken Little still on the phone. A couple of things before we get into this last part. As my website is www.trumpetmin.org. And phone number here, if you want to call in, is 1-800-313-9443. Also, John Stuttmiller will be on from 8 to 10 tonight with a special program. We ask you to listen to that. It'll be a very special program. So, Ken, looking at the First Amendment and looking at what it really states, and not only freedom of religion, but also the political side, it's actually freedom of speech, freedom to assemble, freedom to do a lot of things. How did we get so far away from the First Amendment?
Well, I think it's been a little bit of compromise here, a little bit of compromise there. It's been people not educated about what it actually meant, even though some people had to memorize it, recite it back. You know, I've known people who can recite the Bible backwards, but they live their life that way too.
Yeah.
You have to know what it means. And I think we've been told that each generation has been told, well, you have freedom of speech, but little by little it's been restricted. It started with the old statement, well, your freedom to speech is restricted so that when you yell fire in a crowded theater, you know, that's a restriction on it. Those kinds of things happening. They've been eroding it little by little. Again, it's incrementalist, and the people, the families who want to run this world have taken time. They're willing to do it little by little. But what I've seen that's disturbing, Carl, is that lately they don't even care if anybody knows. They did it in secret for a long time. But now they don't even care if you know. They'll tell you right to your face what they're doing. They go do it anyway. I don't know if you knew this, but they're now proposing again some general to reinstitute the draft, to make sure that they get all of our young boys over to get them killed.
Well, it's amazing that here a while back they were talking about that in no way, shape, or form were they going to institute the draft and this type of thing. And you can always, when you hear those things, you can always count on the fact that that's exactly what they're going to do, mm-hmm. just the opposite from what they say. And I saw young people breathe a sigh of relief and say, well, you know, they aren't going to institute the draft. And I said, don't believe that. And, the machine is all in, it's been oiled and fixed up, and the whole thing, the draft lottery and that whole thing. And so there is recruiting problems. There's a lot of people that don't go along with this, but you got guys that have been five times in Iraq now. One guy the other day, he was on his fourth tour for Iraq, but also two tours in Afghanistan.
Amazing.
So, you know, what a thing. Well, Ken, we've got the music coming again, and remember, I appreciate you. Have a good trip, and we'll be talking to you the next time you're on. And I sure appreciate your inputs today, Ken, and what we've been able to discuss.
It's true.